My Dear Fiona by Frances Rosenfeld. Chapter 22, Birth. Again. I was lucky to have Denise with me, otherwise my Meisho experience would have held me back, Fiona, because the cairn of Queen was much smaller, much darker, much more ominous, as it is fitting for a fairy now inhabited by spirits from a non-human realm. The experience of entering the Earth is only romantic in theory. In practice it involves a lot of hyperventilation, scraped elbows and knees, controlled panic attacks and a feral drive to get out of there as quickly as possible. We didn't bend over, we crawled in, against my every survival instinct, we crawled into the darkness of the earth, tightly cradled by corbelled stone slabs supporting what I can only guess was crushing weight from the dirt mound above, with barely enough space to turn around, careful not to bang our heads on the sharp stone edges. A strange elation overcame me, not panic, rather excited trepidation, the anticipation of an unusual journey outside normal reality, a visit to the realm of the dead. It's not a physical journey one engages in here, I understood somehow, the constraints are intentional, the tight straitjacket made of stone is supposed to restrain all the movements we take for granted, and the dark silent space dampens the senses too. How else are you to understand the stillness of the body in death? What it's like to exist in a state that no longer allows for the perks of the living. Why am I doing this to myself? I questioned, well on my way to another panic attack, wondering how come my field of vision didn't start to narrow, and I realized that was because in the almost complete darkness of the cairn I wouldn't have noticed, anyway. I felt movement about me and jerked instinctively, only to remember Denise was trying to make herself some room in the tiny space. Aren't I the most enlightened one, Fiona, being afraid of my own sister, who was the dancing embodiment of the mither no less? I could hear Denise breathe hard next to me. There doesn't seem to be enough air for two inside this small, rounded stone chamber. I got the eerie feeling it trapped me inside an egg, and that made me feel protected. Humans' cults for the dead are as old as civilization itself, but we give barely any thought to the life before birth, and that's where I seem to find myself now. Silently waiting in this earth womb, losing all sense of time, all sense of self, just waiting for my turn to emerge into the world. Is this why you brought me here, Fiona? To show me the continuity of death and rebirth? A strange place you chose for it too, for what it's worth. I hope this wasn't your final resting place, if there is such a thing. The remains the archaeological teams found here speak of gruesome fates. The bones of Queen are old, so old that some crumbled to dust at the mere touch, and I didn't even realize that could actually happen. It sounds like a story I heard as a kid. I closed my eyes, unnecessarily under the circumstances, and sighed softly, stirring an uncomfortable shuffle out of Denise. How long are we going to lie here buried alive, sister? I'm getting numb. That's probably what happened to those people who left their bones here. They came to visit, became unable to move and never got out. I'm sure that's the case, Denise. I smiled in the dark, feeling like I'd been sitting on pins and needles too. Okay, let's get out. It took Denise a lot of grunting and fussing about to position herself in a way that would allow her to exit, and she served me a copious helping of elbows and knees jammed into my ribs in her struggle. My egg became suddenly roomier after she got out, and cozy with all that extra space. Don't get any ideas, Ethel. I'm not standing here in the wind waiting for you to get out. After it gets dark, the trolls will come to get you. In fact, I think there may be one in there with you. I think I heard something. It doesn't matter if you're a 30-year-old anthropology PhD with a trained scientific mind, your fears and survival instincts will drive you like they are the only things that matter in this world. I don't even know how I got out, shaking like a leaf, my ears tuned into the slightest sound. Are you out of your mind? I could have hit my head. I chastised a very amused Denise, showing her the scrapes on my palms to double down on the outrage. No, seriously, she tried to contain a grin. I'm sure I heard something in there. Shut up. Your princess frequents strange digs. She didn't relent. The 24 dog cairn? Why on earth would she bring you here? I didn't answer her. How do you tell your sibling you were there to experience the existence before birth without her getting you committed, medium or no? Listen, Ethel, can we lighten up on the dead a little? There is music, dancing, theater, folklore, and most of all, lots and lots of very much alive, enjoyable company. You're getting way too weird, even by your standards. I had to confess this trip was not what I expected, and I too was looking forward to the lively streets of Kirkwall. I was starving and feeling like my universe had burst open to a much vaster size and I wanted to take it all in. We don't cherish life, not really, because we're so used to it being a state of fact we don't understand what an extraordinary privilege it is, what a miraculous, improbable wonder. Not the events and the plans and the flaunting of gifts, just life itself, the experience of being an embodied spirit capable of taking it all in, of being immersed in it, if I were to judge by my stone egg revelation, again and again. I didn't even realize I was wearing the events of the day on my person until the server at the cafe gave me a strange look. I was covered in dirt, had mud on my knees and elbows, and possibly on my face, my hair was tangled and my hands still had traces of blood from the scrapes I got rushing to get out of the tomb. Birth is difficult, isn't it? We all came into this world covered in blood and gore that made the dirt on my clothes look sanitary by comparison. Maybe Denise was right, I was getting too weird, even for me. "What'll you have, miss?" the server asked. I ordered an enormous meal, which I started devouring with an enthusiasm that made Denise gasp. "Slow down, ogre, or the people will start hiding their children. Oh, can I have another large side of fries, please?" she asked the server upon returning. "What? I'm starving," she answered my silent stare. "How is your research going?" she asked me with her mouth full. "I'm supposed to be helping, you know. What should I tell Dad if he asks?" The question brought me back to the here and now and out of my altered state of worshipping being alive, and I cringed at the thought I hadn't written a single word in over a week. There are experiences meant to be shared and experiences meant to be had, and lately I seem to have been blessed with much of the latter. A lot of our lives unfold in this twilight of reason where we understand things but can never explain them to others, in a familiar mental landscape we take for granted and through which we're fated to wander alone. Most of the things that fire our purpose we don't mention to a soul, not because we don't want to, but because we can't. We don't have the words to do it. "Tonight is the night, Ethel. What ballad are you going to perform?" "What, you want me to play in public, today?" "Well, yeah." Denise looked at me as if the matter had been settled already. "You promised." I'm covered in dirt and my hands are bruised. "You should have thought about that before you scraped them." "I won't even listen. You'd grab onto any excuse to chicken out. Tonight it is. Happy the one who wins for himself. Favor and praise is fair. Less safe by far is the wisdom found that is hid in another's heart.